I'll be reading from Revelations chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice which I heard was the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sing it as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song save the 144,000, even as they have been purchased out of the earth.
This morning before services, Katie had told me she'd been in contact with Sherry Blackwell, you know, Don Blackwell's wife that we've been praying for as he's become a paraplegic. She shared with me this morning that the contractors are in the process of converting his house to handicap. And during that time, Don has actually been studying with some of the contractors and has converted four. And we look oftentimes at our own malaise and we think we can't be effective. But I tell you, it's a great story of victory that we can overcome the trials of life and make it worthwhile for many others. You know, for many, the book of Revelation is a book of doom and gloom. We read in these things of a lot of horrible things going on to Christians. In chapters 12 and 13, if you read them, you'll find John that writes about a dragon and two beasts who are out to bring harm to the children of the woman. Those children were described in these books as those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Christ. And these chapters do feel like doom and gloom. But for Christians, it is a calling to persevere under great trials. It is reminiscent of the people of Judah, and they were taken into captivity into Babylon. It is here we read about this in Psalms chapter 37 in the first four verses. And it reads, "And by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our lyres, for there our captors required of us a song, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" There is a picture that we need to see today from Revelation chapter 14. It is a picture of victory. You know, with the dragon and his allies seemingly victorious and marking those who serve them, John sees the real victor, the Lamb. And these opening verses are in total contrast to what we read in Psalms 137. Instead of the doom and gloom, we find victory. We find worship in songs and saints who overcome. In today's world, this is something that we need to hear. If you were to ask just about anybody if they want to go to heaven, the answer would almost surely be yes. But heaven is difficult for the human mind to comprehend. We can only use human terms in order to describe a spiritual place. Even Paul said that he didn't know what the resurrected body would look like. But he did say that he knew that it would be raised as imperishable and full of glory. Now, there's a lot in this chapter in Revelation, but we are only going to look at 5 verses. The picture of imagery in verse 1, we see the Lamb. The Lamb was described in John 5, by John in Revelation 5 and verse 6, as standing even though it had been slain. It was a Lamb that was worthy to open the seals that would tell us the rest of the vision. The redeemed wore robes that were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And through that, they were made victorious over the dragon. In chapter 14 and verse 1, we again find that Lamb standing. And with all that has happened, the Lamb stands. And it stands on Mount Zion. We read of the exiles in Psalm 137 and how they remembered Zion. And the Hebrew writer takes up the spiritual idea, and he tells his readers in Hebrews 12 and verse 22 that we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. Now, Mount Zion is not so much a place as it is a status. Mount Zion is about victory and worship. It is about the throne of God standing stronger and giving more power than any dragon or beast could throw. It is about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We sing songs about Zion. We sing songs about heaven. John needed to see, and John needed to tell the church that it was going to suffer. And it was going to suffer more than it already had. But through all that suffering that the Lamb stands and will continue to stand victorious. You know, I've almost given up watching the news. It just seems like every time I turn it on and watch it, there's something bad happening everywhere. And you know, it's kind of easy to make a correlation that when we look into the book of Revelation, that we see so much of this book unfolding in front of us. And it's scary. And frankly, I don't think any of us either want to see what is coming. We fear for our children. We fear for our grandchildren in the life that they are going to have to live in this evil world. For the moment, and in this chapter, we see and we hear the song of victory. Let's look in verse 2 and 3 of Revelation 14. And I hear a voice from heaven like the roar from many waters, and like the sound of thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from earth. You know, I have absolutely no idea what heaven's going to be like. But what I do know is that our worship to God today is hardly even a glimpse of what worship will be like in heaven. Do you get excited when we sing, when we pray, when we commune? Are you looking forward to the day when we will be able to sing the new song and that our voices will not be the issue, but the words of that song will praise the one that we adore? Now, heaven is not simply a 24/7 worship service. That might not even be appealing to you if you don't worship on earth. What heaven is when we are with God in His presence, secure in our victory and at home with the Lord. You can call it whatever you like. We simply want to be with the Lamb of God. So who are the 144,000? Well, if you can ask certain denominations, they are the only ones that are going to get to heaven. And I remember presenting that question, if 144,000 are the only ones going, what are we doing here? But they are defined back in chapter 7 of the Revelation. They are defined as the spiritual children of God, the Israel that has been marked and sealed. But it is here that we get more. Look at verse 4 and 5 again. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouths no lie was found, for they were blameless. I was looking on the surface of that. First thing I'd say to myself is, I don't have a snowball's chance. But before we walk through these statements that describe a group of people, let us start by reflecting upon what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And Jesus, He made a strong point about discipleship in Luke chapter 14. There, Jesus said that a disciple was one who renounces all and follows Him. And Jesus here also told the people to count the cost, because discipleship was not something to be taken lightly. It came at a cost. Sometimes that cost was experienced in the family. Sometimes it was an economic cost. Sometimes it cost security of home and food and clothing. But a disciple of Christ was one who was willing to lose everything that life has to offer in order to gain the greatest of rewards, eternal life. So who is it that John sees singing the new song? It is the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get caught up in the number, as it is a symbol. It is a symbol of a group of people who cannot be numbered. And there are many symbols that is used in the Bible in which numbers describe something. Don't get caught up by the fact that it only mentions those as ones who have not been defiled by women. Some would take this to mean that this is only talking about 144,000 men. But the symbolism here is that it is symbolic of those who were dedicated to what came first in their lives. These were the ones who have not defiled themselves morally. These are the ones who, even though they did not live the perfect life, that they were redeemed, that they were forgiven of their sins, that they were continually washed in the blood. When you look at the context of chapter 13, there's little doubt that John is talking about the false prophet of the sea. The people who did not have the mark of the beast, those people who did not worship the image. This number of people were those who had the mark of the Lamb. These were the ones who only worshiped God. And that is our calling as well. We need to put aside the teachings of this world. We need to the very best of our ability, stay pure in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to use His truth as a guide in our lives. We need to use His examples as our teaching tool. Verse 4 says that they followed the Lamb wherever He goes. This is a discipleship in action. This proves in the end of God's word that the Lord really is our shepherd. It doesn't matter if the pastures we are treading on now are green. It doesn't matter if we are standing in the valley of the shadow of death. Still our shepherd. They have been redeemed from the earth. They have been sanctified. They have been separated from this life, and they were placed in the holy service to the Lamb. Again, these are disciples. This is our victory song. We can overcome the things that we face in life today. We can be included in the numbers that the Revelation speaks of. Throughout the history of the church, many righteous people have gone on before us. None of them were perfect. None of them walked the perfect life. And yet they were and are included in the 144,000. And this number that is innumerable. When this life is over, the lost will still be lost. The good news about it all is that we don't have to be lost. We can be found. We can become the sanctified. And if you're not a child of God, and if you have not obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity. Don't let this life pass by you and lose that chance. As Noah saw firsthand when God shut them in the ark, man's last chance to be saved was gone. When that trumpet sounds, man's last chance will be gone. Truth of the matter is, we may not get to the meal after services. The Lord could come back that quickly. We need to be prepared. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can be redeemed. You can be a part of this number. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe your life has not been the one of true discipleship. And yes, while you believe and you are doing your best to follow, there may be things in your life that you need to take care of before that last great day, and asking God to forgive you of those sins. As you see, our Master, while He has a tremendous memory, when we repent of those things He forgets. And those things that He forgets means that we will come to Him undefiled. Think about that this next few moments. As Joel comes to lead us in our song, if anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.